Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? It is great to see each and every one of you. My name is Andrew McLean. For those that I haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. We are just so thankful to have you with us. Well, yesterday, some of you may have seen the social media posts. We had an absolutely amazing day. It was Serve Day 2019 edition. We handed out recyclable grocery bags at the farmer's market. We did a car wash. I think we served over 80 people at the car wash. We invested over $500 at a few local laundromats and paid for people's laundry. We did a cleanup here on the west side of the building here at the school, kind of cleaned up all the hedges and the bushes and cleaned all of that stuff up. I'm forgetting some. We went to the senior center and played games and just spent some time with some of the elderly people. What else am I missing here? Oh, yes, we also served our community people that provide safety, so our fire departments, police officers, and so we were able to do so many exciting things, and I just thank you for that. It's one of the most exciting days of the entire year at the Lifeway Church, and people were just so pumped up. I had gotten home about 2:30, and when I sat down at my desk, I had this email that had already come. Someone had found us online, and somebody by the name of Ann Kuklinski. Some of you maybe that worked in the laundromat. I see somebody nodding their head. She just wrote and said, "Thank you so much for the kind generosity at the laundromat today. It truly made my day. You are kind, and you're welcoming." Ways it just touches people's hearts in ways that you just don't know. Thank you very, very much. So it's so awesome. So awesome. You may have noticed we cut a song out of worship today, and that's because I have a little bit of a longer message this morning, and really important when we get into it, it'll make a lot of sense there, but I just wanted to just take a deep breath. We didn't forget something. We didn't, change anything just on the fly. Finally, I wanted to let you know that our worship pastor, Tiffany Venegas, she lost her father this week after a long battle with cancer, and so that's why they're not here this morning. But for those of you, I sent an email out. Those of you that we have your email address, you should have received something earlier this week. But the visitation is today at 4 p.m. With the service at 6 p.m. And listen, I know that Tiffany gives everything she has to you and to Jesus when she leads us in worship every week. And so I would love for our church to show up in force, and so if you need the address, you can see someone after church, or just go to the email was in there. Also, if you're connected with Tiffany on social media, we'll also, Sam, if you're in here, let's post that on our Facebook page so people can grab the address to that as well. But it's at Parkway Church in Oak Creek, and the visitation is from 4 to 6 p.m. with the service starting at 6, and I know it would mean a lot to her to come and just celebrate. Her dad was an amazing, amazing man. In fact, I may tell a story about him in the message next week. But just wanted to let you know that, and just so you're not worried, they were scheduled to be on vacation this week and next weekend, so you may not see them otherwise for a couple of weeks. So don't worry, they didn't get mad, they didn't leave or anything like that. But just walking through a lot, and so I know that the family appreciates your prayers. So I want to just take a moment before we get started here and just give a big welcome to all of those who are going to be listening later today to our message online. We love those who listen to us in cyber world, and just thankful for you. Well, today we are starting a brand new series entitled "This Is Us." Everybody say, "This Is Us." This may be one of the most important series in the history of our church in the 4 3/4 years that we've existed as a church. As in this series, what I'm going to be doing this week and then the next 4 weeks, so this is a 5-week series, is I'm going to be unpacking the course for our future. Early one morning while we were on vacation last month in June, I woke up out of my sleep from a dream that I instantly knew that God had given me. me. Anybody ever had that happen where God, you just knew God woke you up? And so I immediately got up and I grabbed my journal and I started writing, and it wasn't long before I filled 3 or 4 pages with notes. But in my dream, I saw our amazing dream team. How many of you love our dream team? Yeah. If you're new here, our dream team is who makes all of this possible. Everything you see out, our amazing kids ministry and all of that. But I saw our dream team serving, and it was almost like, you know, you have that 30,000 foot view. So I was kind of like above, just sort of looking down, and it was like a beehive of activity. There was faithful service and activity happening everywhere. Yet no matter how diligent the team was in their efforts, the progress that should have accompanied and matched their effort wasn't really occurring. And I felt like God began to speak to me and begin to challenge me, saying, Andrew, while your team and while the team is being faithful, who in what I have specifically called you to be as a church lacks clarity? Now, how many of you know when God says something like that, you're like, okay, God, I'm paying attention now, right? And God took me back to the scripture. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. It's in your sermon outline. I encourage you to take some notes, take this out, follow along with us. But the scripture says this. It says, write the vision and make it plain. Everybody say, make it plain. On tablets that he may run who reads it. And then God just began to download into my heart, and then through my heart to my brain and out to my hands as I put it out on paper, who he has called us to be as a church. And so in this series, I'm going to unpack how this looks not only spiritually for us as a church, but practically as well. And so as we prepare to move into our fall season, and as we prepare to move and close out 2019, I believe that God wants us to move into the new year. It's going to be 2020 with perfect vision. How many of you know 2020 means perfect vision? You can see everything clearly. So in the event that you miss a week, I know this is vacation season and all that's going on. Listen, I encourage you to listen to the podcast so that you can stay in the loop. Some people are like, man, I never know what's going on. All right, I'm telling you right now, if you want to know what's going on, you need to listen to the messages in this series, or you're going to come in 1 week and say, what in the world happened here? All right, I've got a deal there, everybody. So today I want to start with a message that I actually shared with our dream team on team night a couple of weeks ago. Now, initially, I was not planning on preaching this on a Sunday, but afterwards, I felt so strongly impressed that really our entire church family needed to hear about it. Now, some of you are like, man, I was there on team night. Why did I come? There's other stuff in there that you didn't get on team night, so I've got something for everybody here. But this message is essentially the foundational concept to what I am going to be unpacking about our future over the next 4 Sundays. And so in the book of Genesis, there is a story about a man named Lot. Everybody say Lot. And so I want to give you just a brief overview of his story. Lot's father died when he was a child, and so he was taken in by the family of Abraham. Remember, Abraham was essentially the father of the Israelite nation, God's chosen people. And so as Abraham pursued the promise of God in his life, God richly blessed him. And so as God blessed Abraham, Lot's proximity to Abraham caused him to be blessed as well. And so let me just pause. This isn't our message here, but just chew on this. Who are you hanging out with? Right? In fact, both these men became so wealthy that those they had hired to watch over their herds and their flocks begin to fight because they grew to the point that they couldn't keep the flocks separated. And so one day, Abram says, well, we've got to fix this problem. And so he goes to Lot and says, hey, Lot, God has given us all this land as far as our eyes can see. And so I want you to take the portion that you want. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and move in the other direction. And so Lot ended up choosing the fertile land that was located near the sinful city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And unfortunately, it wasn't before long that Lot and his family actually took up residence in that wicked place. And so 5 or 6 chapters later in the book of Genesis, as this story begins to unfold, God speaks to Abraham and he tells him, Abraham, I'm so sick and tired of all the garbage that's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sick of their sinful ways. And because of that, I'm going to destroy those cities. And I believe that once Abraham heard this, he knew that his nephew was in that area. And so Abraham, he goes to God. Imagine having this kind of relationship with God after God tells you, first of all, I'm going to do something big. But then Abraham goes, he says, God, would you save those cities if there are 50 righteous people? And God says, all right, if there's 50 righteous, I'll save them. And so God goes and looks and comes back, and they couldn't find 50 righteous in both those cities. And then God goes and Abraham asks him, well, God, would you do it for 45? Would you do it for 40? Would you save it for 30? Would you save it all the way down to 10? Yet God couldn't find 10 righteous people in those cities. But here's what God did. God did send two angels to warn Lot about the destruction that was headed their way. And so Lot's family gathered whatever they could in a very short period of time as they prepared to head out of town. And as they were leaving, the angel gave them very specific instructions. This is what he said. He told them, he said, run for your lives and don't look back or stop. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, don't look back. Don't look back. And so as the sun breached the horizon the next morning, God did in fact rain fire and brimstone down from heaven, completely destroying these two wicked cities. But as they ran, Genesis 19:26 tells us, but Lot's wife looked back. And as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, since I was a child, this story has fascinated me. This is one of the stories that they teach in children's ministry. And I've often wondered, God, why a pillar of salt? I mean, throughout the Bible, when people did really bad things, God just, boom, struck them and it was over, like, boom. But for this person, he just turned her into a pillar of salt. And then what I want to do is I want to move way ahead in the Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was teaching his disciples about the coming of the kingdom of God. And starting in Luke 17:26, this is what Jesus says. He says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the sons of man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Say, don't turn back. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. And so tucked away in this passage is a small, just a three-word verse that's so easy to overlook and ignore. In fact, it doesn't even seem to fit. Jesus is telling his disciples what to look for as a sign of his coming kingdom. And then he throws in something that seems unrelated. He throws in this statement and he tells us, remember Lot's wife. And one of the reasons as I think about this story that I think this verse is so amazing is that as you read through the pages of Scripture, the lives of many amazing women are recorded. Think of Eve, who was the first woman. Out of her came all of mankind, but Jesus never asked us to remember Eve. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, was the matriarch. She was the mother of the nation of Israel. And way past her childbearing years, she miraculously became pregnant and birthed the son through which the nation of Israel came. But not one time does the Lord ask us to remember Sarah. I want you to think of Rachel and Esther and Rahab and Ruth and Naomi, Mary, the mother of Jesus. There was a woman in the Old Testament who killed a wicked king by driving a spike through his head while he slept. Women who saw their children raised from the dead. A woman who prayed until she could bear children. The woman that was healed from the issue of blood. Women who accomplished incredible things, who had amazing testimonies, who had experienced the miraculous in their life. But not once does Jesus instruct us to remember any of them. To make it even more puzzling, as you study Scripture, you'll discover that we don't really know anything about Lot's wife. Well, we don't know who she is. We don't know where she came from. We don't know whether Lot married her while they lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, whether they were married before they moved and settled in there. Yet Jesus, he asks us to remember a woman whose name was not even notable enough to be recorded in Scripture. He says, remember Lot's wife. While we may not know her name, I believe it's important, and God wants us to understand her game. Remember, Lot's wife comes to us as Jesus is teaching his disciples about the coming kingdom of God. And he says, hey, watch, guys. When this day comes, if you're up on the roof working, don't even go down into the house to grab your wallet or your phone. If you're at work, don't even go home to pick up your important documents or your priceless photographs. In other words, when God is getting ready to take you forward, don't deem anything behind you so important that you miss the opportunity that God has in front of you. He's challenging us to have the courage to go somewhere that you've never gone before and do something that we've never done before. So the first blank in your outline is this: don't deem anything about yesterday so valuable that you ruin what God is trying to do today. Psalms 118:24 tells us this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lamentations 3:22, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. I love this verse 23. Great is his faithfulness. Come on, anybody ever experienced God's faithfulness? His mercies begin afresh each morning. Listen, we don't have to cling to the memory of yesterday when today God has given us a brand new day with new mercy, with fresh anointing, and a new opportunity to make a difference in this world. So for some reason, this nameless woman is significant enough that Jesus cautions us to remember her. I want you to imagine this, because it's easy to say, well, man, I never would have done what she did. But put your wife in the shoes of Lot and his family that day. You know, one day they wake up and the kids get breakfast and they're simply going about their daily routine when an angel shows up at their doorstep and he tells them, you need to get out of here now because destruction is coming. And so imagine, as they begin to scurry around, they try to pack up and gather as much as they possibly can. But how many of you have ever discovered in the process of your life that it's hard to leave what we're familiar with? Right? And I want you to understand that God will always call us out of our comfort zone. God will call us to leave the familiar for the unfamiliar. He will take us to that threshold of scary, like we heard Pastor Matt teach about last month. He'll take us to an unfamiliar place. Those of you who have walked with Jesus for any length of time, you recognize that God's been doing this throughout your entire life. Anybody here ever notice about the time you start getting good at something, God throws a curveball and says, all right, I want you to go do this now, right? And you're like, well, God, come on. I finally felt comfortable here. Now you're gonna walk in here. You're just going to upset my apple carts. And God's like, how about them apples, right? It's It's almost like God intentionally tries to keep us off center and to keep us off balance. So many of us, we struggle with moving forward in our journey with Jesus, from stepping into greater levels of anointing and deeper dimensions. And the reason we struggle moving forward is because we want answers to all of the questions that we have. You know, God will speak something into our spirit and we'll say, well, where are we going? How long are we going to be there? Where are we going to stay? How long will it take? God, what should I wear? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We want all of the details. We want to be sure. We want all of the facts worked out, everything in a nice order before we'll step out. But I want you to recognize that in God's system, in God's economy, things don't work that way. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we are told, we are instructed, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Amen. And I want you to understand this. This may be a big news flash, but it's essential that we walk by faith because we cannot see. Because if we knew everything was the way that everything was going to play out, then there wouldn't be a need for faith. If we could see everything down the line, that God wouldn't have to say, Andrew, I've called you to live by faith. Right? So before the brimstone began to fall on the city, before fire began to engulf all of the homes and buildings, the local moving company had backed up to Brother Lot's house and they started loading up everything. Lot's wife didn't have much time to process what was happening because of the urgency of the situation. She was going to have to move from the familiar to the unfamiliar. She was going to have to abandon the home that she had raised her two daughters in. The memories, right? It's hard to leave what we're still connected into, but they load everything up and they head out of town, leaving what was known and leaving what was comfortable. And while Lot's wife was with her husband in body, I don't believe that she was really with him in spirit. I've seen this happen in my own life. I can physically be present even in a church service just like this one, but my spirit is so far away and it is completely disconnected from God. You can be present in your body, but be absent in your mind and soul. Come on, wives, say amen. I know you're married to some men who sometimes are absent, right? Their body's there, but their mind isn't, right? That's another series. We'll do that. We do that in February, all right? So halfway out of the city, before they could even get to the mountaintop that God wanted to take them to, before she could discover who she really was as a person, before she could even find out that God was just trying to save her and take her to another level, because she thought that the good old days were destined to be her best days, because she felt like the total sum of her worth was tied up in her past instead of the future. Listen, I want you to understand that God is always trying to take us to something deeper and something higher and something better. If he's leading you, you can rest assured that he's not going to take you somewhere that is less than. And so before Lot's wife ever got to discover the destiny that God had for her life, she began to doubt. And if we're not careful, we will give up where God has called and destined us to be for the comfort and familiarity of what used to be. Don't look back. And I get it. It may be uncomfortable, but God is trying to take us to a new season. He's trying to take us to new heights, and we need to stop trying to put new wine into old wineskins because it will never work. We must understand what got us here won't get us there. We've got to trust God. We've got to step out in faith and trust that he is going to lead us forward. And so for Lot's wife that day, maybe it was the sound of the thunder. Maybe it was the flash of lightning. Maybe it was the ground trembling beneath her feet that made her want to look back for one last glance. Maybe it was the couch that they couldn't quite fit onto the moving truck that they had to leave behind. Maybe it was because she thought that she would never own a home like that ever again. Maybe it was a sandbox or a playground for the kids that they had to leave in the backyard. Maybe it was the granite countertops or the brand new state-of-the-art washer and dryer. But this woman with two little girls, she turns away from what was in front of her in order to look back at what was behind her. And the moment, Scripture says, the moment she looked back, she instantly turns into a pillar of salt. Tell your neighbor, don't look back. There's nothing easy about growth. Growth doesn't just happen because we simply want it to. Growth requires methodical study. It requires at times painful self-reflection. It requires sacrifice. It requires intentionality. And over the course of this year, Shyla and I have been assessing and reassessing, and we have been looking at everything that relates to the life. We've looked at our leadership structure. We've looked at our bylaws. We've looked at our board of trustees. We've talked about our overseers, our systems, our meetings, who we meet with, when we meet, what we do when we have been looking at everything, and we recognize that as a body, we have gotten too comfortable with what is familiar. And let me just speak as a pastor, if this is not your church, this is not for you, but for those of you that consider the Lifeway Church your home, some of us in this room have even gotten complacent in our journey. And so I'm challenging us as a church. I'm challenging us as individuals. It's time to move to the next level. Don't look back. Amen. Thank you. Because here's a universal truth. All healthy things grow. And all growing things evolve and enhance. In the past 6 months, we've made a formal offer as well as an intent to purchase two different properties. In each case, we were not able to come to an agreement or terms that would be sustainable for us in our current financial position. And because of my desires for us to get into our own facility, I've avoided making some key decisions that would help us move forward here at Nathan Hale High School. But after praying about this and consulting with our board of trustees and with our overseers, listen, I recognize that we cannot look back, that we must press forward. So I want you to understand, as pastor, what I've told the Lord. I've told God that if now is not the time that you've chosen to open the door for a permanent facility for us. And I just want to pause right there, and I want to let you know that my faith hasn't wavered. God has the perfect facility for us. It just isn't the right season. Now isn't just the right time. But I've told God that since this door hasn't opened, I've committed to Him that we are going to be the best mobile church that Milwaukee County has ever seen. Amen. And I want you to understand. I want you to hear it from me. All right, we're going to stop making excuses for being portable. And instead, we're going to be excellent. And we're going to be faithful in what God has given to us and entrusted to us. You see, it's so easy for us to live our lives longing for what we don't have. Somebody say amen. That's a good word right there. It's so easy to live our lives longing for the things we don't have when God is calling you and I. He says, Andrew, Lifeway, will you be faithful with what I put in your hand right now, today? And so what does that look like? What does that look like? I'm going to be unpacking more specifics in the week to come, but let me share some of what you can expect over the next couple of months. First, we are in the process of rebranding to something that more clearly aligns and defines who we are as a church. And so with our rebranding, it's going to affect a lot of things, but there's going to be new signage throughout the entire campus, out on the streets, everywhere. All of that's going to be changed. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that in the first years of our church, the first couple years or so, our average attendance for kids ministry was about six or seven kids a week. We would set up kind of one classroom and just do the best with, you know, 18 months all the way to 11 or 12 year olds. You know, God bless all those who work so faithfully during that really difficult and challenging season. But right now we're up to over 30 children every single weekend. In fact, on Easter Sunday, we had over 100, and all the kids' ministry people were like, oh my gosh, yeah. They say that Easter Sunday is a reflection of where you're headed in the next 18 months, so just buckle your seatbelt, all right? And so since we've launched our church, we really haven't added much of anything to our kids' experience. And listen, let me just tell you, so much of my foundation in Scripture came because I had great people in kids' ministry that taught me the stories and the things that were found in God's Word. So listen, we recognize that we need to make a substantial investment into our kids' ministry areas. And so behind me are some examples of what we'd like to do in our kids' spaces to make the environments more engaging and more appealing. And just kind of focus everything in together. Man, thank you for your patience, all of you that have children with us. It's not our kids' ministry fault. They've done the best they could do with the resources that we've given them, but we're ready to take another level and move forward, all right? All right, yeah. The third thing, we've kept this quiet because we've been in a testing phase, but almost a year ago now, we started translating our messages live into Spanish every Sunday. And so some of you have Spanish-only speaking friends that you'd like to invite to church, and you didn't know about this, but we didn't want to open it up until we had most of the bugs worked out of it. But listen, we believe that this is a great way for us to reach more people that are just so hungry for truth. And so we want to expand our capacity and equipment to be able to accommodate as many Spanish-only speakers that God chooses to send us. Everybody excited about that? The fourth thing is we recognize that more and more people are getting fed spiritually through various forms of the internet and social media. And so we believe that it's important that we expand the reach and the influence of our church beyond the walls of this physical location. In fact, my vision is to eventually launch an online virtual campus that will have a set service time every Sunday so that those who can't be here in the morning or maybe one of the other services that we offer, that they can log in, and we'll have a campus pastor for that and everything. And so as such, we just want to add the necessary equipment and kind of begin the process of moving towards that and initially making video recordings of our messages available. I know that that's something that a lot of you have asked about. And so that's one thing we want to address. The fifth thing that we want to do is there are other investments that will improve the look and feel of this room in the areas of sound and lighting and just other environmental upgrades. And so you'll be kind of seeing more of that as we're working. As we make all of these improvements, it's going to require us to expand our storage. So when we launched the church, we bought an 18-foot box truck, and if you're ever here for loadout on Sunday morning, they open that door, and I think you can put your hand in between the last cart and where the door comes down. So we have completely took all of the room that we have, and so we're going to have to add another vehicle and a trailer to accommodate this additional equipment. Seventh thing is there are structural changes, including building out and increasing the size of our team. So we can give more opportunities for people to be connected on the dream team. We just recognize the people that are doing the best in this church and the people that are strongest and the people that are growing are the people that are connected to a team. Nicole actually talked about that this morning in our corporate huddle. We think we're doing it for others, but God is actually doing a great work in our heart when we serve. We're planning on moving to multiple services in order to feed those of you who serve faithfully as well. And so listen, you may say, well, why in the world we do that? We have plenty of seats. I understand we have plenty of seats, but some of you serve so faithfully every week, and it's been our dream from day one, and it's 4.5 years we're in, but we understand it's important to serve one and attend one because we all need to be fed, right? Amen. The other part of that is we want to have more service options to reach more people. How many of you have a favorite restaurant? Let me see your hand if you got a favorite restaurant, a favorite place you like to go out to eat. The rest of you are lying. All right, you got a place, or you just like everything. Maybe that's the other thing. All right, but imagine if your favorite restaurant was open 1 hour a week. Right? You wouldn't get there very often, right? And so what the church world has found is when you give people options, people opt. The average American Christian is going to church 1.4 times a month. Listen, if you eat 1.4 times a month, you are going to be very sick physically in a couple of months. And yet the average American is only going to church 1.4. And so what they've discovered is as churches give more options, people then get to choose and work around maybe a work schedule or an activity or something that they do. And so this is something that's really important to us. Eighth, here we go. With all of this stuff that's going to be happening, and like I said, there's even more we're going to be unpacking in the weeks to come, we are going to advertise a relaunch of our church that will be on September 8th. So circle that day in your calendar, block it off, don't plan any trips for September 8th. I want everyone to be here. We are actually going to couple this relaunch with everybody's favorite series, which is At the Movies. All right, I just wanted to make sure, all right? At the Movies is amazing, and so we're going to couple that with that, so September 8th. So I want you to already start thinking about who you're going to be inviting and bringing. But listen, this is so exciting to me as we've been working on all of this stuff. I am so thrilled. I can hardly contain it. But let me just be real. How many times? No, sometimes you just got to have a family meeting. I'm sorry. I know we have first-time guests here. I'm sorry you came the week of a family meeting. But I just want to let you know that all the things that we're talking about doing is going to require an investment of about $50,000, which is close to what we spent when we first launched the Lifeway. And so while we've got money in savings, I want you to know that it's still our long-term vision to own a permanent facility. And as such, it's our goal to really maintain as much cash on hand as we possibly can for a down payment for our future home. But yet we also understand we just can't sit still and not do anything. So we realize we also have to position ourselves for what God wants to do right now, all right? And so what I want you to do is I want to encourage all of you to pray over how God would like you to be a part of this relaunch. And so in your service guide, there's a legacy commitment card. Looks just like this. I want you to take this out. I know a lot of you just drop this off when you leave to recycle, but I want you to actually take this card with you home, take it home with you. I want you to pray over it. Once again, this is not for our guests. This is for those who consider the Lifeway your home. Pray over it and ask God to speak to your heart on how he wants you to be a part of advancing his kingdom through your giving. And so this legacy offering is a gift that is given above and beyond what you typically give. Some of you have actually come up to us. You know, we typically do a legacy offering in December, and we'll still do that. But some have come and said, well, you know, it's Christmas. There's a lot of stuff going on. I know we've got a lot of like contractors, people who make a bulk of their money in the 3 or 6 weeks we have warm weather here. All right. No, that's a little sarcastic, but not too far out of line. But some of you, you know, make a bulk of your finances during the non-snowy months. And so I've had some of you, man, I wish we could do something at another point of the year. And so this is a great opportunity for you. One thing different with this legacy offering from the ones we've done in the past is that we're not going to be receiving this on a particular date. And so essentially, anytime between now and the end of August, the only thing I'm going to ask is you bring this back next week. If you forget it, then we'll have more for you here next week. But we want you to turn this commitment card in next week so that we know how much of the vision that God has put before us that we can actually take on, because we need to be wise stewards. Everybody say amen, right? As I've said before, our pace as a church is really determined by the pace of our generosity. And so starting next Sunday, we will have special envelopes available that you can use for your legacy offering. And if you're newer to the Lifeway, listen, I want you to know, as always, no pressure. All right? You're probably never going to hear another pastor say this unless you go to an ark-style church. If you talk to God and he tells you you don't need to be a part of it, that's fine. All right? So just talk to God and do whatever he tells you to do. This is all about positioning ourselves as a church to reach more people for Jesus. Amen. And so when I look at all that God has done, when I look at all the lives that have been changed, in fact, I look around this room. Some of you, we've sat in counseling sessions. Some of us, you've cried on Shiloh's and my shoulder. Some of us, you know, we've raced to your homes in the worst possible situations. And I look around and I see those who with smiles on their face and people who have found hope and people who have found freedom and people who have been delivered because of the first $50,000 invested into a mobile church back in August of 2014. I get so excited imagining the stories of what God is going to do through this next investment and this next step that we take as a church. And so as I and the team begin to challenge you and we work to improve things over the next few months, listen, I just ask you, please don't push back. If you don't understand something, if you don't understand the why, listen, you have permission to come talk to me anytime. I will gladly talk vision about what God is taking, where God is taking us as a church. But listen, I get it, because it's so easy to say, well, we've never done it this way before. How many of you ever heard someone say that before? I like the old system, I like the old way. I like the comfort of what I was used to. Listen, hear your pastor this morning. I'm telling you, God has spoken to my heart. We cannot afford to look back as a church. We must instead pray, God, even though I may not understand, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. Where you lead me, I will follow. Is there anybody that'll say, God, where you lead me, I will go? And I know, just like it must have been for Lot's wife, the unknown can be scary. It can be uncomfortable, and quite frankly, the unknown is oftentimes a little bit messy. And so when things, when feelings of discontent start to bombard you or rise up inside you, I plead with you, just like Jesus did in the story we read, to remember Lot's wife. The truth is, we can't look back, and this is why, because hell is real. Some of you didn't say amen. You need to listen to the last series we just talked about. Lost people matter to Jesus. Listen, every single day, people in our community are slipping into eternity without a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And so listen, as a church, God has given us so much. We can't afford to sit still and say, well, I'm just happy with the small group we have. I like it the way it is. No, God's calling us. There are people who are broken and who are hurting and who are looking for hope in this community, and we must reach out to them. And so while Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt may have seemed like a completely random thing, I believe that God did it with very much intentionality. Because like salt, the presence of Lot's wife was important. Don't miss this. You are important. Tell your neighbor, I am important. I am important. You are a part of the body of Christ with a role to fill. And like salt, the presence of Lot's wife was essential to her family. How many of you know that a good mother is the glue that holds a family together, right? Like salt, she was a preservative. Mothers have this innate ability to hold things together when times get tough, even in the face of adversity and instability. Mothers have this way of keeping things from spoiling. Mothers make it work even when it shouldn't be possible. They don't murmur. They don't complain. A mother simply just does what she needs to do. They'll coupon. They'll rummage. They'll stretch the grocery budget. They'll make some of the most incredible meals from $8.33. And they'll feed 33 people with that. Salt, it adds flavor. It makes things better. And just like a good woman does, a good woman will take a house and she will turn it into a home. She can turn a crisis into an opportunity, a calamity into a moment for us to believe and expect that God is going to do something great. Yes, food can exist without salt, but honestly, it's just not the same without it. And I want to just wrap this whole message up. The whole point of this message comes down to this. Lot's wife gave up being the presence and essence of salt to become a pillar of salt that was good for nothing. She gave up being the presence and essence of salt to become a pillar of salt that was good for nothing. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:13. Don't get mad at me. This is what he said. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is it if salt, what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And God is asking, if you're not going to be present in the moment, then what good are you? Your presence is like salt, but if your salt has lost its savor, you go from being the presence of salt, the essence of salt, making a difference in this world, to simply being a pillar, doing nobody no good. It's sad as you read the rest of the story. From the moment that Lot's wife looked back, the family completely fell apart. And yes, they did survive the fire and brimstone that day. They made it away to safety, but without her presence in that marriage, without her presence in that home, things unraveled in almost inconceivable ways. Eventually, Lot took his daughters. He was so fearful for his life, he ran and he hid with them in a cave. Things were so bleak. The daughters thought, there's no point, there's no future for us. Our dad's going to die, then what's going to happen? And so they devised this horrific plan. They planned it out in advance to get their father drunk. And they got him drunk so that they could sleep with them, so that they could have children. Lot rolled over to the spot that his wife used to be, the spot that God had designed for her to fill. But without her presence, Lot, in a drunken stupor, did the unthinkable. And the fruit of those illicit sexual encounters was two children who eventually became the leaders of the Moabites and the Ammonites, two nations that ended up being so anti-God and so filled with idolatry. And I want you to hear me this morning. Lot's wife was looking back at a city when God had placed the potential of future nations inside of her seed. And I just came to tell you, if we ever needed strong, mature believers in Christ, we need them today more than we have ever needed you. Your presence is important. Would someone just say, I won't look back. I won't be content with the success of yesterday. You matter. Your position in the body of Christ matters. The enemy of reaching our full potential as a church, as individuals, is veiled in the success of our yesterdays. Who are we as a church? This is us. We are people who are committed to walking by faith, to reaching forward to all that God has for us. We will not look back. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. There are some of you in the room that you're not in a relationship with Jesus. There are some here that you've never even for the first time committed your life to follow him. You've never given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. And so if that's where you find yourself today, you're ready to say yes to him, would you just lift your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision, thank you, that you could ever make. You can put your hands down. I wonder who in the church that you've said yes to Jesus. But if you were willing to be vulnerable and honest, you're more of a pillar of salt than you are the essence of salt this morning. And if God is speaking to your heart, if God has used this message to call you forward, to take a step forward and not be afraid, come on, let me see your hands. I want to pray for you as well. Come on, is there anybody? Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. And Lord God, for those who raised their hands that have never said yes to you before this moment and this day, Lord, we give our hearts to you. We give our lives to you. We repent, Lord. From this moment forward, we commit to walk with you. Thank you for new life today. Lord Jesus, I pray over this church. Lord, I pray for the members of this church. Some of us have become complacent. Some of us have pursued the temporary things of this earth instead of the eternal. And so, Lord God, right now, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. And Lord God, all over again, we renew the commitment, where you lead me, I will follow. You see, Satan wants us to remember what's behind us, because he knows the future and the destiny that God's placed inside each and every one of us. And so, Lord God, we won't look back. Lord, one day we're going to see this auditorium filled with people because this group in this room today said, I won't look back. I won't settle for the success of yesterday. Lord Jesus, we give you our hearts all over again. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.